We continue on in our consideration of the Apostle Peter and his life and the Lord working in with him and in him and bringing him, calling him and such. We want to remember that our study began in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18, where the Scripture says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Our Lord, after his resurrection there, dealing with our brethren, and in John chapter 21, verses 21 and 22, the Lord, having dealt with Peter, he's dealing with Peter regarding his attitude and what he wanted to do, what he was more comfortable with pursuing and doing. And he says, he dealt with Peter. He told him to feed his lambs, feed his sheep, and told him how he would die. The Scripture says here in John 21, 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Speaking of John. The Lord had given Peter what he wanted him to do. What about John? The Lord's answer is this. Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" What is that to thee, what I ask of your brethren, what I command your brethren, what I instruct your brethren in? He says, "What is that to you, Peter? If I will that he stays here till I come back, what is that to you?" Not that we shouldn't care about our brethren, and not that we shouldn't supplicate, pray for our brethren and what the Lord has called each one to do. But the Lord says to Peter, he says, "Peter, your focus needs to be, follow thou me." And so that's the theme that we see in our brother's life and the Lord working in him. We come to this second epistle of Peter, the Apostle Peter. We come to the second epistle, and we're looking to see, it's a short epistle, just three chapters, and we're looking to see what the theme is. We see our brother strengthening us, even so many thousand years later, so many hundreds, so many centuries later, as the Lord had commanded him and had used him even to writing his Scripture. We're looking here for the theme of this and picking out themes in the Scripture for different books, for different chapters. It helps us to remember what the content of the Scripture is. And then as we deal with different issues in our own life or dealing with different doctrines in our own life, we can have those in our hearts, in our minds, and be helped when we need to know about a topic or a subject by at least getting that outline of the Scriptures in our hearts and our minds. Understand, it's a lifetime work. Whatever bit of lifetime you've got left, that's how long it's going to take. We don't need to go and follow after the way of man and the way of the flesh and the way of the world in that we say, "Well, I just don't know, and I don't know what brother or sister so-and-so knows, therefore I'm just not going to pursue it, or I'm going to quit." Can't go there. If you don't know about the Scripture as a child of God, you need to start today putting the Scripture together for yourself, asking the Lord to help you, because we are to show ourselves, what to say in Timothy, the epistle to Timothy, or to Titus, the two epistles to Timothy. We need to show our study to show ourselves approved unto one another. Does it say that? Does it say to the pastor? No. Unto God, unto our Lord. We need to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to know what the word of God says for ourselves. Our brother, in this first chapter, speaks about that. And so we'll get into it here and see what the Lord has for us in it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Now, we look always in context of Scripture to see who it is that's directly being written to. And we know by virtue of the Lord's working and giving us the Scripture that the Scripture is written to us, okay? But the context of the passage or the Scripture helps us to understand clearly what the issue, what's being dealt with is at hand. Remember in chapter 1, it was written to strangers scattered throughout Northern Asia Minor, Okay? Here, it's written to the saints. Okay? And all of it written to us. But in particular, these are who the Lord, the brother has his mindset on as he writes. A servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter's been brought a long way, right? He seemed very early on to be his own man. Wanted to do what he wanted to do, or what was a good thing to do. He was an apostle of John the Baptist, or a disciple, of John the Baptist. And then when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," he began to follow after the Lord Jesus. The Lord called him, as we saw and read there in Matthew. But this thing of being a servant, I think the Lord had to work on our brother for a while. Remember, in John chapter 21, which we just referred to, Peter said, "I go a fishing. I'm not comfortable with this servant waiting kind of thing." He saw the Lord Jesus wash the disciples' feet, didn't he? And he said, the Lord said, "If I don't wash your feet," and Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet." The Lord said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." He said, "Well, wash my feet, wash my head, and wash my hands." The Lord said, "You just need to have your feet washed." He saw the Lord being a servant leader, didn't he? He saw the Lord giving totally of himself. Here, by the time he writes this epistle, he's been converted indeed. He says, "I'm a servant." What's he say first? He doesn't say he's an apostle of the Lord Jesus. He says, first, "I'm a servant of the Lord." And we are the Lord's servant indeed. We are bought by a precious price by him. And then he also says he's not only a servant, but he's an apostle. He was ordained of the Lord to be in that transition team, that leadership group, that first leadership group in the church after the departure of the Lord. He is one of those of the original 12. And he says here, "I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ." He knows who he's getting his directive from. He knows who has called him. See, that reference of being a Christian, I believe well that because of the context that the Scripture tells us about this, about being a Christian, our brother has talked about suffering as a Christian in the previous book, and also they were first called Christians at Antioch. It is the case of others, that of others to determine whether or not we are the Lord's. If we can't claim a Christian as a badge of pride or that, I think we're missing what it is that we've been called into. I like that reference to be called, I call myself, I'm a child of the Lord. And I pray and pursue and desire to be like Christ. And that will be determined by our Lord and our others. He says, "I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I get my marching orders. I have my calling from the Lord." He's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. He's obtained like precious faith. We have obtained like precious faith. How? Through the righteousness of God and through the righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we have this like precious faith. And indeed, it is precious, isn't it? See, it's only by faith that any of us can please God. And yet, in and of ourselves, we have no capacity to have faith in our Lord. It's a gift of our Lord and to us. It is comes from the Holy Spirit working within us to open our eyes, to open our ears, to open our hearts. By the marvelous and wondrous preaching of the gospel and the good word of the Lord, somehow the Lord takes that and wakes up, well, brings to life sinners, and they hear. He says, "You know how precious the faith is. I know how precious this faith is, and it's by the righteousness of God, by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Understand, Jesus or God is the greatest, greater than all. And He created us in Adam and his wife Eve, he created us in them. And you know what? We sinned against him. We transgressed against him. And having been cast, having fallen into that transgression and that sin, we came to a place of hating our God, hating our Creator. Great enmity between us and our Lord. And you know what? He didn't quit us. But he's pleased to save. I tell you what, faith in the Lord, by the Lord, faith in our Lord, unto our Lord, because of our Lord, is indeed a precious thing. Like precious faith. That's why he's writing to the saints. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. This favor of the Lord, may it be multiplied unto you. It already has, and may it be more. He says, and may the peace of our Lord be multiplied unto you. May the favor of the Lord be multiplied unto us. May the peace of the Lord be multiplied unto us. That's his desire. That's his desire for the saints unto whom that he writes, to us, that it be multiplied unto us. How? Through the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. You know, we need to know our Lord and his Word. We need to know about our Lord Jesus indeed by knowledge of him in the Gospels. It tells, as we go to the jail, and not just that I recommend it to them, but I recommend it to everyone, you need to know what your Lord Jesus did for you. Because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it tells the detail to the extent that we need to know what Jesus did to save your soul. He would have done nothing different. All of the Bible is good, and all the Scripture is appropriate and right and good. It's all a blessing. But I tell you what, we need to know about our Lord Jesus. We need to know. The Gospels need to be that of common feeding of the children of God. We forget. We don't see things the first time or the 10th time or the 20th time or whatever time. There's things that we just miss. We need to know about our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know about him. You and I have been called to be members of one of his churches. We need to know about his instruction to us in the churches. In this church here, at Olmsted Baptist Church, we need to know about God and who he is. We need to know. And you know what? You and I cannot find out and learn about him other than in this book. In this book is the only way that we can know about our Lord. Indeed, it is true. We will only know our Lord to the extent that we know him in the Scriptures. It's the way it is. He says, favor, grace from the Lord and peace with the Lord be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. See, he is pointing to the Scriptures. And the necessity of us knowing what our Lord has said. That if we be hanging on the edge of our seat, if you will, or on our tippy toes to know and hear what the Lord has given us. He says here, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and knowledge of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Where are those things? Well, I'll tell you what, knowledge about those things and understanding about those things. You know that you were saved by the visitation of the Lord in you, that time, that day. When the Lord opened your heart and opened your eyes and you received Christ, you believed and just rested and trusted in him. He saved you. He confirmed that with the giving of his Spirit living within. You know that the Lord saved you. And understand, when he saved you, when he saved me, we were babies. Babies have to be taught things, don't they? Babies have to be taught all the good things. Babies don't have to be taught bad things. had a gal disagree with that at the jail one time. And so they just took her over to the scriptures where it says, we come forth from the womb speaking lies. We're liars just right from the get-go. Because babies cry for attention. Oh, babies will cry when they're dirty, and babies will cry when they're hungry. But babies will also cry when they get used to getting what they want. And so we need to be taught. We need to be taught good things. We need to be taught right things. And our brother is telling us, we need to know about our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Does it say will give? No, He says has given, hath given. And we need to find what those are. All things that pertain unto life, we've been saved from our sins. We've been granted eternal life in our Lord. We've been granted rest in a life of serving our Lord and worshiping our Lord. There's rest in that. There's rest in salvation, Hebrews tells us. There's rest in service of our Lord. And there's rest in going on to be with our Lord someday. He says, He's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness, being like Him. Now, where do you reckon that is? In this book. Once again, it's in this book. It's in this book. His divine power has done this. His divine power has given us His Spirit to live within. And as you and I would feed upon the Word of God and the desire to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is promised unto us. But we don't get it by osmosis. And you can't get it from another individual getting it. Your spouse, your parents, your other brothers and sisters in Christ, they can't get it for you. They can be used. We can be used to help and teach one another. But we need to go to our Lord for it directly. We need to go to His Word for it. He says, grace be multiplied, peace be multiplied through the Lord, God and the Lord Jesus Christ, through His the knowledge of them. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He has called us to glorify His name. He has called us to experience His glory. He has called us to experience His goodness. He's made us clean, and He expects us to live for Him. He says here, it says here in verse number 4, by this whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Just thinking about this for tonight and this passage and thinking about what promises does Peter have? What are the promises that Peter was looking to our Lord in? Well, let's just go back to the beginning. Peter has been promised of our Lord everlasting life, a home with Him. Peter has been promised of our Lord, and this is not necessarily in any kind of order, but to be glorified like Moses and Elijah were on that Mount of Transfiguration. Peter's been promised, and we refer to it every time in the observance of the Lord's Supper, that the Lord Jesus is waiting for him. Peter's been promised that he's going to sit on one of 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's an awesome responsibility, isn't it? Peter's been promised by the call of the Lord that the Lord has called him to do the thing that he's called him to do. And is the Lord being who he is that not a promise that he would be with him in it? Peter's been promised that he would die a death in which he would glorify his Savior. He's been promised that. And our brother calls the promises of our Lord exceeding great. And they are. Exceeding great. He has promised, as he been promised by the Lord, as he listened to what Thomas and the other brother there, that the Lord goes to prepare a place for him. Philip and Thomas, remember that? The Lord says unto them, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I am surely coming back to get you. Peter was there. He heard that. He heard that. What promises of your Lord do you know? What promises of my Lord do I know? We can only know them in His Word. And we need to know them. Our brother tells and reminds us continually that they are exceeding great promises. He tells us that they are precious promises. You have a promise of an inheritance. Some could become very, very overwrought about a promise of an inheritance, okay, on this earth. Others could deal with it in stride. I guess maybe you would come to some that wouldn't even care. You know, we've got the promise of an inheritance with our Lord. We've got the promise that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And every promise of the Lord indeed is precious, because all of His promises are solid in Christ, and they're all a blessing. Is there a promise of the Lord unto His children that's not a blessing? Yes, even Peter being told by the Lord, promised by the Lord, how he would die to glorify the Lord, is a blessed promise unto our brother. Now, in regards to the flesh and our carnal connection to this life, this old man wouldn't see it as a good thing, a precious promise. But you know what? To be a martyr for the sake of the Lord is a blessing indeed. That's a great blessing. This divine power of our Lord has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Why? That by these, the divine power, having given us the things that pertain to life and godliness, having given us these exceeding great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. You and I can be like Christ. Oh, it's going to be a struggle and it's going to be a fight, but we can be like Christ. We can represent our Lord. But the old man's got to be put down to do so. And the things of this world need to be put at a lesser priority, and the things of our Lord being raised up to the priority. We might be partakers of the divine nature. His divine power has done this, and you and I can be a partaker of the divine nature of Christ, not in the future, but now. See, Peter has been blessed of the Lord and brought to a point by the trial. Remember how Peter wept bitterly when the Lord there, from being before the council, and the cock crowed the second time, Peter having denied Him three times, and the Lord looked at him. He turned around and looked at him. He cared about what was going on with Peter. He reminded him by his own, just his very look, that what he had told him would come to pass did come to pass. He loves his son. And Peter, having been convicted by that, going out and weeping bitterly, was used of the Lord to show him and bring him yet closer to the point that what the Lord says is what matters and nothing else matters. Well, how is it with the Lord Jesus Christ? Was the Lord Jesus Christ cared about what anybody said about Him? Or did He care about what the Father said and thought about Him? Our Lord Jesus came caring only what the Lord, the Father, thought of Him. Peter's been brought to a point. He doesn't care what the world thinks. We know in the book of Galatians, we read it, we've seen it, how Peter had times where he failed when the Jews came from Jerusalem up there to Antioch, he, with Barnabas, assimilated with them. They backed off, wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He had ups and downs. But he is looking to be a part of the divine nature, a partaker of the divine nature of his Savior, to be like Christ. Whose image is it that our Lord says He's conforming us into? The image of our Savior. We need to look like Him, walk like Him, think like Him. So the divine power of our Lord has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His divine power has given us exceeding great and precious promises. How, regarding the promises of the Lord, what could you and I, what one of those promises could we ever keep? Name me one promise of the Lord that you and I could take and keep for another. But our Lord keeps them indeed for us. They are great and precious, and that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through desire. The desire of the flesh. The corruptive things of the world. Our brother has spoken in the past about culture rot. I mean, it's rotten all around us. It is rotten. How is it that we can keep from being swallowed up by it? Today, it's not even known by the world and our culture, the people of our land. It's not even understood and known what sin is. It just everything goes. But you know what? You and I know. Can know if we don't know. And we can escape the corruption that is in the world through desire. Where's our desire? For self or for the Lord? For things temporal or things eternal? The things on this earth or things that glorify our Lord? There are things on this earth that glorify our Lord. We've got a great issue in our country, and it's been working and coming to this. Children, so many children that are from and in broken families. Children that don't know who their fathers are. What a sad, terrible affair. What a sad, terrible thing. Things that are broken and things all because people want to do what they want to do and don't consider the ramifications. And it's always the children that take the rough, terrible end of those things, isn't it? Because somebody's desire was misplaced and not according to the Lord. As children of God, we need to be those that, as we sing, stand on the promises. Standing on the promises of Christ our Lord. We have that song because of that, because of this passage. Do you know the promises of your Lord? I tell you what, I challenge each and every one of you to get a notebook, get a piece of paper, open it, get a Word document going or whatever processor you use, and start, put the date and start listing the promises that you know from your Lord. List them. Think about them. Meditate upon them. Go to the Lord for them. Go to the Word of God and find out what they are, because they're important. They're motivators to us to live for our Lord, to escape the corruption that is in this world. And he says, and beside this, verse number 5, giving all diligence, not some, not work at this when you get a chance. And I tell you what, I love this passage. It's been a blessing to me in my life. But as I do come across it, I see my failing. We can get so much in autopilot doing the things that we have to do in life that I forget. I forget about these. I forget about that I need to be diligent in doing this. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What was it he said, this precious faith that we have in our Lord? Understand, faith is not a thing that stands by itself. Faith is always in our Lord Jesus. Our faith in Him. Faith in Him that He went to Calvary for me. Faith in Him that He did die for me. He shed His blood for me to wash my sins away. Faith in Him that He was buried and that He rose from the dead for me, for the likes of me. Faith in Him that all His promises to me are solid, steadfast, and sure. Faith. We need to add to it. We have this precious faith. Our Lord has touched us, saved us, made us His own. We need to be busy about doing this. We need to give all diligence to it, our brother tells us. He says, I need to do it, you need to do it. Give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. In the strictest sense, this word virtue is talking about valor. And valor speaks of bravery and courage. Are you, from the viewpoint of the world, are you naive enough to go ahead and order your life in pursuit of your life that what the Lord says is true? Well, it's not being naive, is it? It's having faith in our Lord that what He says is true. Having courage to follow our Lord and what He's given us, that it really is true. When the whole world does not care about it and does not see it and may ridicule us for that. Because it comes down to living your life. It comes down to what you're going to work at. It comes down to what you're going to, how you're going to spend your money, how you're going to use your money. It comes down to the way you're going to raise your children. What you're going to do with your time. Where you're going to set your priorities. We need to have valor in that, courage in that, virtue. Our Lord was courageous, wasn't He? In the prime of His life, He didn't seek to have a family, a spouse and a family and children and a business. What kind of carpenter business do you think the Lord could have had? No, He laid all those things aside because of the directive of His Father and the purpose and plan and work of God. He laid down everything that we count valuable in this life and on this earth for the sakes of pursuing what the Father had given Him to do for you and me. See, doubt will cause us to not be courageous. But I tell you what, if we believe our Lord and believe His promises by His help and by prayer and looking to our Lord, being, what is it that the Lord used regarding Brother Peter? When you're converted, when you've got your eyes on me solely, strengthen your brethren. You'll be in a shape to where you can. He says, add to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. He's back a about this, in the strictest sense, this word in the Greek is speaking about science. You know about the science of the Lord? What the Lord says about Himself. How He operates. How the Lord thinks. What He's given to us in His Word. Our Lord is greater beyond the Word that He's given us, but He's given us what we need to know about Him. And there's plenty here for us to have a lifetime of pursuit about knowing about our Lord. What's it say in Jeremiah, I believe it is? Let a man rejoice in that he knoweth me. Knowing about the Lord. There's nothing better. There's a lot of things, a lot of technology that I like and enjoy piddling with and having worked with and stuff like that. Those are good things and enjoyable things to me. You have other interests. And there's nothing wrong with having hobbies. There's nothing wrong with having things that you like to do, just as long as we don't put them before the Lord. But do you enjoy about learning about the way the Lord works? We need to. Knowledge about Him, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Of course, temperance is speaking about self-control, isn't it? You know, you've got to have self-control. Our Lord Jesus had self-control. And you and I need to have self-control. The self-control, control over this whole body, that we might obey our Lord, to be temperate. You know, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, is it not, that he writes in Romans that the athlete that runs for an earthly crown has got to be self-controlled in every aspect of their life so that they may win the prize. We run for a prize that's not of this earth. And you know what? It's not a competition. But it's meeting the race that is set before us by our Lord, to His honor and to His glory and His praise. Is this real with you? Do you hear this? Do you see this? Is this really a real thing with your Lord? Or is it just nice things to know, but don't put them to work in your life? Our Lord has given it to us to put it to work in our life. Knowledge about these things is not enough. He says here to go on to add to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. I tell you what, I'm of the opinion, don't pray for patience, just be in pursuit of it. The Lord might bring some things in your life to go ahead and teach you patience. And He does. Cheerful endurance. Cheerful, enduring, continuance, patience. We spend most of our time waiting. As I mentioned to you before, the events in life, our physical lives, our spiritual lives, or just the life of our church, life of our families. We've got things that come up, a point, a something that's at hand, and we've got to go find out at the doctor what it is. We find out about it in a moment. We know, we come to knowledge and understanding that something's at hand, but then we have to wait till we go to the doctor. As an example, we go to the doctor and say, oh, yes, there's a concern here. We need to have tests. And we wait. We wait for the tests. And then, in our anxiousness, we may say to the one doing the test, what do you think? And I said, sir, ma'am, I can't tell you anything right now. You'll have to wait for the doctor's office to give you a call. This is just one of many things. And then finally, the word comes, and it's good news. Nothing to be concerned about. We had to wait way more than the different events, didn't we? We have to wait for the Lord to work to save sinners, don't we? But we need to pray for them. We need to be a good witness to them, good things in Christ. We spend way more time waiting than we do praying, than we do speaking to them, and all these things we need to do, but we spend plenty of time waiting. Our Lord says that we need to pray, and the Scripture tells us that we need to pray for the things at hand that need to be prayed for, and not to faint in that. See, we can become, you and I, we've all become discouraged in praying for things from our Lord. I admittedly have things that I prayed for years and decades ago that I haven't prayed for in a long time. That's to my shame. There are still things that there's need in those. We need to have patience. We need to have patience just day to day to day. You know, the Lord uses many things. You and I, the brethren here in public prayer, we pray that the Lord will protect each and every one of us. We desire that, don't we? But yet when the traffic's backed up or something happens where we've got to take an alternate route, we have the threat of being late for our appointment. We get all cranked and upset and out of sorts. In the vernacular of some, we tear our shirt. We just need to take things as they come, don't they? Trusting our Lord, resting in our Lord. What is it that He says that we need to... The passage that speaks about taking and resting in our Lord as a faithful Creator. Verse number 19 of chapter 4 in 1 Peter. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. But even in the things of life. And he goes on here, we're going to stop for tonight, But he tells some other things that we need to add. We would ask ourselves, Brother Jim, how do I add this to my faith? Well, first we need to know that they're at hand and that we need to be adding them. Maybe it would take printing out this passage and highlighting those points and put them up at your desk or put them up there in the kitchen on your message board or put them there in your Bible and you look at them every day. Lord, how can I add virtue to my life today? Lord, help me to learn more about you and seek to do so. Lord, I need to be self-controlled. And Lord, help me. Don't say, give me patience now. But Lord, help me. Help me to be strong. Help me to grow in you. And look for opportunities to exhibit these, to add these. To think about our Lord Jesus and everything. What would my Lord Jesus do right now? I know that was wore out. What would Jesus do? And it's a shame that it was, but it's the truth. That's the theme of our life. What would the Lord Jesus Christ do right here in this situation that I find myself in? How would he have me to do? What would he do? That's what we need to do. May the Lord help us in these things. Well, Lord willing, next time we'll look to pick up here and go on from patience. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You only can have hope in him, by him, through him. You're a sinner. You're condemned before God. There is no help and no hope for you in this world or in yourself, but there is in Christ. You need to repent of your sins before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, him and his gospel, for everything that you need, the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, the granting to you by the Lord of everlasting life. You've got one promise that abides on you if you're here and you're not saved, and that's the condemnation for sin, hell and the lake of fire. You, your soul, your life, and your existence all by itself, that's what you have. But you know, with Christ, and surrendering of yourself and to him and repentance and faith, admit before God you're guilty. You're guilty and you deserve death. And believe and look to Christ. I tell you what, there's a whole world of blessing in our Lord. Rescue, deliverance, and having a relationship with your Creator. For there to really be peace. Not the peace of this world, but peace with your God.